Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Shiur today at the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis at the Mishnah. Hashochet l'shem horim l'shem gevois, one who slaughters with the mountains in mind, or for the sake of hills, l'shem yamim, for the sake of seas, l'shem nahoros, for the sake of rivers, l'shem midboros, for the sake of deserts, shchitaso psula, the shchita that he does is considered unfit. In these cases, Rashi says, for example, when it said in the Mishnah, L'shem Yamim, Rashi says, She'oso hayam avodas kechovim. He made the sea, or any of these examples, into an idol. So in effect, he was shechting, he was slaughtering, with idolatry in mind. Shnayim oichazin besakin, at the top of Daf Mem, two are holding a shechita knife, v'shochatin, and they are slaughtering an animal. Echod l'shem, echod mikol elu, one of the people holding the knife has in mind one of the aforementioned things. The echod l'shem dover kosher, and the other person holding the knife has in mind an acceptable item. Shchitoso psula, the slaughtering of this is unacceptable. Our Mishnah made reference to the slaughtering, l'shem horon, l'shem foros, etc., as shchitaso psula. The shchita is unfit. The Gemara infers from this, psula in, however, zivchei mesim loi. Zivchei mesim is an expression that refers to things slaughtered with idolatrous intent, the result being that the meat will be osir to benefit from, which we refer to as Isur or Osur Bahano. Before going any further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this section. In the outside margin, you see that we've written Nosei. The role of this Gemara is Liyashev, to resolve Stira, a contradiction, being Mishnosenu, Shekotoni Psula, our Mishnah, which says that one who shechts for any one of these items mentioned, the shechita is psula. Lebraisa, on the other hand, there will be another Tanaic source, shekotoni bo dehavi zivchei mesim, that slaughtering with these things in mind results in not only the meat being forbidden to eat, but even being osir bahano, and hence classified as zivchei mesim. So the Gemara, upon inferring from our Mishnah, comes to the conclusion that all that we say is that it be shchitas psula, but not osir bahano. V'ramini, to this we raise a contradiction from another Tanaic source, and you can see that we have a frame around the next few lines indicating that this is a Tanaic source. The frame distinguishes Tanaic literature from the rest of the Gemara. So it says, Hashochet l'shum horim l'shum gvos, l'shum yamim, l'shum nahoros, l'shum midboros, l'shum chamo, for the sake of the sun, ulavana, the moon, l'shum kuchavim, with stars in mind, umazolos, other constellations, l'shum michoel sar hasar hagodol, he shechts for the sake of Michoel, the heavenly ministering angel, l'shum shilshul koton, for the sake of a small worm, harei elu zivchei mesim. the result of this shechita, and you can see so many of the items mentioned in this list are the same as those mentioned in our Mishnah, and yet the result here, as is Harei Elu Zivchei Mesim, we've dashed underline that because this is the point of emphasis. We see that the result is a shechita that whose meat is now usur, is forbidden to benefit from. One would not be allowed even to sell it to a Gentile. How do we resolve this contradiction? Omar Abai, lo kasha. In fact, there is no contradiction. Ha the Omar lahar, ha the Omar legodo dahar. If he said, I'm slaughtering to the mountain, then that is what the Mishnah says. It would be posel, but not osir bahano. A mountain, though it's osir to worship it, a mountain itself cannot become an idol. And therefore, shechting to something, or for the sake of something that itself cannot become an idol, is not called zivchei mesim. However, it's forbidden to eat from the meat. On the other hand, if one shechts legada dahar, gada dahar is the angel appointed over mountains. There are ministering angels that are appointed to oversee the different items mentioned, for example, mountains, hills, seas, rivers, deserts, etc. So if one shechts for the sake of or to the ministering angel, that already is a more severe matter, and that makes the meat forbidden to benefit from. Daiko nami, and through careful reading of the Braisa that said that there's Zivchei Mesim, you can see this point. Dikotoni, because the list contained things, and amongst which Dumyo de Michoel Sarhagodol. Michoel Sarhagodol was also mentioned, who is an example of another ministering angel. And in order to see where this was referred to, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align that with the above arrow, where you see we're pointing to a line containing Michoel Sarhagodol, so that the other items mentioned in this particular source, the Horim Givos, were also to the angels that are in charge of those things. Shema Mino. This is conclusive. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. The no say Afalpi the Ein Odom Oiser Dovar Sheino Shaloi. Even though we are of the opinion, and this is something that itself is controversial, but for right now, we're of the opinion that a person cannot forbid or create prohibition regarding an item that is not his. Nevertheless, if I also bo maisa osro, if I do an act to my friend's item, the act done to it, a physical act, physical change in it, could result in it becoming forbidden. Examples or applications of this will be forthcoming in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Hoiso behemas chaveroi revutza lifnei avodis kachovim. One's friend's animal is revutza, is lying in front of an idol. Kevon sheshochad bo simen echod osra. If I slaughter one of its neck organs, trachea or esophagus, I thereby make it forbidden. In other words, we're talking about a shechita for an idol. Rashi points out that the example of it lying down is going beyond the obvious. In other words, if there was an animal that was standing and I laid it down, then all the more so would I be capable of ruining it. But even if I didn't have to pick it up and lay it down, it was already lying down, still the action that I'm doing to it is sufficient for rendering it forbidden. Sovar law, that means that Rav Huna, in coming to this conclusion, is of the opinion or in agreement with Ki Hod Yomar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Afal pi shomru, even though it has been said, Hamishtachavil behemas chevro lo osra, one who bows down to his friend's animal does not create any prohibition. Living animals do not become idols, so that my bowing down to it doesn't make it into an idol. However, osa ba maise osra, by doing an action to the animal, that could render it, that does render it forbidden. Eisvei Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman raises an objection to that which Rav Huna taught from the following source. Ashochet chatos b'shabes machutz l'avodes kechovim. Chayov Shalosh Chatois. If one slaughters a sin offering, a Korban Chatos, on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash and for the sake of an idol, the person who does this, he is guilty of three offenses. That's Chayov Shalosh Chatois. And if he did it B'Shogeg, he'll have to bring three separate sin offerings because of this one action. The E Amris, if you were to say, like Rav Huna taught, Kevon Sheshochat Ba Simen Echad Osra, that by doing even a minor action to the animal, like slaughtering one of the two neck organs, we're assuming we're talking about a behema, which in order to accomplish a complete shechita requires the slaughtering of the two neck organs. But if we're going to go like Rav Huna that says even slaughtering, even cutting into it, a minor cut, already creates prohibition, meaning you make it into Isur Hanah, you've ossered it, then Ashchutei Chutz Lo Lechayiv, there should be no penalty for having performed the slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's an Isser that we should have mentioned a moment before, that one is not allowed to slaughter sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. But if you say that you've made it into Isser Hanah by the first minor act that you did to it, there should be no penalty of Shchutei Chutz. Why? Because from the point that it becomes Osir Bahanoh, it's considered Mechatech Be'ofarhu. It's like cutting into dust, cutting into something that has no value. We should point out that the violation of Shechitas Chutz is doing a complete Shechita to something that should have been Shechted, should have been slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash. If the animal is considered Osir Bahanoh prior to the completion of a full act of Shechita, then you'll never get to the point that you will have done Shchutei Chutz. And yet the source teaches me that there is a violation, amongst other things, of Shchutei Chutz. The Rashi at the top, Mechatech Be'ofer, we'll look at Rashi at the top of Omid Beis, the Kevon Dinesar Mishum Avidus Chachavim. Since, according to the way Rav Huna taught things, that by doing a minor act to the animal, it becomes usur as an idolatrous entity, poka shem kod shemina, it loses its sacrificial status. Venas is shel avidus chachavim. It then becomes something associated with idolatry. The afro bi'alma he. At that point, it's considered mere dirt. There should be no violation of Shchutei Chutz based on such a description. But by the fact that the source says there is Shchutei Chutz, it must be assumed, therefore, that the minor act that was done does not render it forbidden. Hence, the question on Rav Huna. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a series of double underlines. These are explained in the outside margin as shlavim, stages, kidei lagia l'tshuva avur ravuna, in order to arrive at a final conclusion and understanding to defend Ravuna. So the question has been raised. Namely, according to Ravuna, a minor action to someone else's animal will, done of course with idolatrous intent, will ruin the animal and make it an idolatrous entity. If that be the case, then how in the Tanaic source can it be reported that one who does a shechita to a chatos, the shame of avodas kechavon b'chutz b'shabbos, that there would be amongst the three penalties there would be a violation of shechut echutz? If it became usur already by the first minor act or incision to the animal, then you never get to the point at which shechut echutz would be accomplished. Omar Rav Papa Hacha, the source that spoke about shochet chatos, bechatos ha'oif askinan. We're talking about a bird sin offering. In the case of a bird sin offering, only one of the two neck organs needs to be cut. The kulhu bahadi hadodi ka'osi. That all of the violations come simultaneously. And therefore, since only one of the neck organs needs to be cut, at the point that it is being cut, it is not only there shute chutz, but it's also becoming usur at that very same time. Or we can say, as it is becoming prohibited as an idolatrous offering, there is also a violation of shute chutz, because as far as a chatas of is concerned, a complete slaughtering of a chatasof is in fact only one neck organ. Michti. The Gemara though challenges this answer and says, let's look into this. Rav Huna keman omrolish might say. Rav Huna was teaching his law based on whom? Ke'ula. He was based on Ula. Ve'ula maise kol dehu ko'omar. Ula made reference to even a minor, a lesser action than a complete singular neck organ. And if you say a maise koldehu, that would mean the slightest incision would already render it osur bahanah. So that being the case, how then do you come to the problem of shute chutz? The reference to chatas ha'of, in order for that to be a violation, you'd have to do a complete neck organ, or certainly something more than a maisa koldehu. But if at the maisa koldehu stage it already becomes osir bahana, then as Rav Huna would have you believe, then how is it that you come to the violation of shchut echutz? Ela, stage 2, ba'oimer, the person in the source of the shochet chatas b'chutz, he was saying b'gemar zvicha hu ovda, that he has no intent to serve the idol until he completes the shchita. And therefore, there is no prohibition created until a completion of the shchita. And as a result of that, they come together simultaneously. That having nothing to do with Rav Huna's case, where there is no announcement where he says that only at the completion am I doing the service to the idol. Ihachi, so the Gemara asks, if that is your explanation of the Tanaic source, where there was an announcement that Bigmar Zvicha Hu Ovda, my Irya Chatos, why does the source speak about a sin offering? L'shaminon Zevach, it could talk about any sacrificial offering. And that being the case, any sacrificial offering, if one makes the announcement prior to his slaughtering that I am not serving the idol until I complete the slaughtering. In other words, with the completion of the slaughtering, I am thereby serving my idol. All the Isurim would come together simultaneously, and we could be chayav all three. Why then does the source emphasize a korban chatos? So there must be something significant about that example. And with that, we continue in the Gemara. Elo Omar Mar Zutra Mishmei Rav Papa. You can see this is the third stage in trying to gain clarity in understanding the source of Hashochet Chatos in order for it not to pose a problem for Rav Huna. Hocha B'mayaskinon. In this source, we are talking about, in fact, a Chatos Ha'of, like we said before. Kagon shohoya chatzi kona pogum, the trachea was half split open. V'hoisiv olav kolshehu v'gomroi, he just made a little bit more of an incision to make it rove majority cut. The kulu bahadi hadodi koasyon, in that case, all three offenses come simultaneously. So that's as far as the case of shochet chatzi ha'of. It doesn't become osur bahana prior to the act of shchita, but rather simultaneous with the act of shchita. The bird becomes prohibited. And we had to use the case of chatos ha'of in order to be able to use this example. Hence the source taught chatos, because we're referring to a bird offering where this, in fact, would be sufficient for creating or for making the shechita. And when done on Shabbos for an idol outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be all three offenses coming together. However, if you were not dealing with a chatas ha'of, but you were just approaching a standard animal, behemas chavero, or any other korban for that matter, by making the slightest incision, he would thereby make it forbidden and would be osur bahano by that mere act. And in fact, the other offenses could not come into play. But just to repeat the main point, the source that was asked as a challenge to Rav Huna is talking about a very specific circumstance that even Rav Huna would acknowledge. And that was the case of the chatas of with the chatzi kona pogum. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice two diamond points. These are comments of Rav Papa with regard to the prior sugya, the aforementioned Gemara involving the kasha on Rav Huna from the source of Hashochet Chatos. Rav Papa has two observations concerning the Gemara where the question had been raised. So they will become self-evident as we go on in the Gemara what Rav Papa is pointing out. Omar Rav Papa, Ilav de Omar Rav Huna Simen Echad. Had Rav Huna in his original teaching not said that a simen echad, which in effect means a minor or negligible action, is sufficient for rendering the animal prohibited, had he not said that, lo havya chatos tiyuvtei, the source of shochet chatos b'chutz would not have been a repudiation of Rav Huna. Because what we would have understood Rav Huna as having said when we saw on Omer Aleph, Rav Huna was based on Ula. And Ula had said, Osa bo maise osra, and Rav Huna was based on that, we would have understood my maisa, what is the word maisa that Ula made a reference to, not a minor insignificant action, but rather maisa rabba, a complete action. So to go over this point, Rav Papa is saying, if Rav Huna had not made a reference to a simen echad, which was explained or parallel to a that even a minor action would create prohibition, then if he had not taught that, he then would have been teaching basically a person who does an action to someone else's animal will render it forbidden. Okay, but an action we would then had interpreted as meaning a complete action of slaughtering. And we would understand that only if you do or complete the full slaughtering, then you create prohibition. Well, that would have fit in very well to the source involving chatos, where the source had taught on Omer Aleph, if a person slaughters on Shabbos outside to an idol, he would be guilty of three, and we pointed out that one would not be guilty of Shritas Chutz, for example, until he does a complete slaughtering. So that's fine. Even Rav Huna would have said that there is no prohibition until you do a complete action. Had he not taught Simen Echad, we would have understood Rav Huna as saying essentially the same thing, that if only if you do a complete slaughtering, you then aser the creature. And that would fit in very well with the case of the Tanaic source, where a reference is made to a complete action. And only then is one chayav the three chatos. So, just to go over the point once again, Rav Papa is saying, had Rav Huna not taught the case, the example of Simen Echad, the source involving Shochet Chatos B'Shabbos B'Chutz L'Avodas Kohanim would not have been a problem. The Omar Rav Papa, and once again, Rav Papa will make a comment on the original Rav Huna teaching that had he not said something, then the source of Shochet Chatos would not have been a problem. The Omar Rav Papa, Ilav the Omar Rav Huna, Behemas Chaveroi, Lo Havyo Chatos Tuvte, had Rav Huna not added the detail of slaughtering one's friend's animal, namely, that we would then understand Rav Huna to say that doing a maisa, even if you would have said, yes, maisa koldehu will aser, that's only if it's your own animal. But as far as your friend's animal, that you cannot prohibit. So had Rav Huna not mentioned Behemas Chavero, then as far as we are concerned, Rav Huna would be saying that only your own animal you can prohibit, even with an action. But as far as your friend's animal, you cannot create prohibition. If that be the case, then Chatos would not have posed an objection to Rav Huna. My time, why would it not have posed an objection? Because Didei Motzi Osar, Rav Huna then would have been teaching, had he left out Behemas Chavero, that only one's own animal can one create prohibition. However, Dechavrei Lo Motzi Osar, someone else's animal, he could not prohibit. And in this case of someone else's animal, would fall into this category a chatos. Once an animal is dedicated as a sacrifice, especially as a sin offering, it's not his. At best, it's the Kohanim's. They'll eat from it, but not him. So someone else's, he could not aser. And therefore, if you cannot aser it, then this whole business of making a slight incision in the animal wouldn't ruin it, because it's someone else's. It's the Kohanim's. And as such, if he doesn't aser it, then he can, in fact, come to a Shchitas Chutz violation. Because at the completion of the slaughtering, he's now guilty of slaughtering, performing a slaughtering, complete slaughtering, outside the Beis HaMikdash of something that's a sacrifice. He didn't aser it, because it's someone else's. And therefore, all three offenses happen simultaneously, and therefore he's chayav of all three. And as just to repeat the main point, there would have been no kasha from the case of Shochet Chatos on Rav Huna. Rav Huna is speaking about ossering only one's own animal, but when it comes to someone else's, he creates no iser by the action that he did to it, and therefore he can come to the stage of shchut echutz. It maintains its sacrificial identity and not turn into dirt because it's not his and he can't osser it. The Gemara, in listening to Rav Popa's presentation just now, says pshita. Well, that's obvious. It's obvious that the case of Chatos would have not posed any objection to Rav Popa. Rav Popa was talking about only his own animal he can aser, and the case of Shochet Chatos is someone else's animal. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so pshita. I need Rav Popa to point this out. Mahu the Tema, without Rav Popa, I would have thought that the case of Chatos, in fact, is an example of his own animal. Kevon de Koni Leila Kapora, since a person gains atonement through the Korban Chatos, if a person sets aside a sin offering, he sets it aside and he sanctifies it or dedicates it for the sake of achieving atonement. And since he has an ownership in it with respect to the atonement he benefits, well, Kividei Damio, we will view it as his own. And then the source would have a very big kasha. If we take this line of reasoning, what was Rav Huna teaching me? Had he left out Behemas Chavero, Rav Papa says, then I understand that he could answer it because it's his own. Then we would be reading the source involving Chatos, which is also something of his own, and that source would tell me he doesn't aser it, as we know by virtue of the fact he comes to a point at which he's chayav for shchut echutz. That would have been a kasha. Komash Malon, therefore Rav Popa is telling me that the case of Chatos, in fact, is not his own, even though he may get kapora from it, but rather it belongs to the Kehanim, which is an example of Chavrei, someone else's, his friends, someone else's. And therefore, he cannot aser it. Once again, all of this would have been, let's say, smooth sailing had Rav Huna not added the fact that he was dealing with Behemas Chavero. Because of that, and Rav Huna says he in fact does aser Behemas Chavero, therefore the case of Chatos, being that we look at it as being owned by the Kehanim, Shayach to the Kehanim, and we see there it does not become aser, that's why Shochet Chatos posed an objection to Rav Huna's teaching. To summarize once again the last two diamonds, Rav Papa was telling us, had Rav Huna not taught certain elements of what he did teach, then the case of Shochet Chatos would not have been a problem. But Rav Huna in fact did add these points, Simen Echad, Behemas Chavero, and still he does create Isser, that raises the objection that we rose on Rav Huna from the case of Shochet Chatos. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading on the outside margin, featuring a 1 and 2. And in the Gemara itself, we've squiggled underline names. These, if you look here, we have a number 1, and on Mem Aleph, Omed Aleph, almost halfway down the page, you'll see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a number 2 encircled. On that line in the Gemara, you see the same three names as appear over here, and they are Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak. So in our note in the outside margin, we have written, Shnei Hoifa'ois, two appearances, Shel Otom Rabbanim, of the same rabbis, Be'inyan Ein Odom Oyser Dover Shena Shelo. We will be touching on the topic of, can one create prohibition on something that is not his own? The Gemara. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchok Amri. The three say, Ein Odom Oyser Dover She'eno Shelo. A person cannot create prohibition on something that is not his. And Rashi adds, even with a complete action done to it. the Gemara asks, Meisvei, the triangles in this Gemara represent, and they're explained on the outside margin, Sidra Shel Kushiois Al HaKlal Hanal, a series of questions on the aforementioned rule of Ein Odom Osir Dover Sheino Shelo. From the sources that are brought, quoted by the Gemara, we will see that a person does have the ability to make prohibited something that is not his. As far as today's shiur is concerned, we will not complete all of the questions, but it's important to see at the outset the series of triangles as they continue to the upper part of Mem Aleph, Omed Aleph, all in the same vein and same direction, where it seems at first glance that a person can create prohibition on something that is not his. The source says, Hashochet chatos b'shabas b'chutz l'avodis k'chovim chayav shalosh chatos. This is a source that we spent quite a bit of time in the previous sugya learning. The slaughtering of a sin offering on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash to an idol results in his being guilty of three offenses. The ukminon, and we set up this case, b'chatos ha'oif b'chatzikon ha'pogum, that we were talking about a bird sin offering with a trachea half split open. Taimo dechatos ofu, the reason that there is this threefold guilt is because of that very case, that we were talking about a bird offering, a bird sin offering. Dekulu bahadi hadodi kaasyon, that all three offenses happen simultaneously. And therefore, we can say that he's guilty of all three things. Avol zevach loy. But if it were an animal offering, then we would not say that all three offenses would happen simultaneously. Now, if you take the approach of Rav Nachman and company that said, and let's continue in the Gemara, V'i ein odom osir dover sheino shelo, if, like they said, would be in fact true, that one does not impose a prohibition, one cannot impose a prohibition on something that's not his, ma'ir yachatos ha'of, why do we have to say that the source is speaking specifically about a sin bird offering, afilu chatos behemanami? The same would be true with an animal sin offering. Namely, that by slaughtering the behemoth sin offering on Shabbos outside the Beis HaMikdash to Avodah Zorah, he would be chayev for three offenses because he hasn't created iser in it. And since he has not created iser, it's not considered as if he's slaughtering mere dirt, but slaughtering a real sacrifice, because he didn't impose any change in it, because he can't. It's not his ta'aser, if they are correct. And if that be the case, then even in the case of shochet zevach, he would be chayev all three offenses. The Gemara answers that this is not an example of Dover She'eno Shelo. Hence, it can't be asked as a question. Kevon de Kanyo Le Lekapora, since the person owns the Korban Chatos for atonement purposes, Kedide Damyo, it's viewed as if it was his own. Oh, if it's his own, then we say a person can impose prohibition on something that's his own. And as a result of that, since he is capable of imposing prohibition on it, we have to set it up as a chatos ha'of with a chatzikon ha'pogum, because otherwise it would become prohibited initially by the initial action and not ever coming to a point at which we can talk about the shchitas chutz, because it would have already turned into dirt. Therefore, we have to set it up as the case of the chatasof with the chatzikon ha'pogum, so that the minor action of completing or making it into a majority open trachea is one action that would simultaneously result in these three offenses. With that, we complete our shiur for today.